So I'm told, my daddy told me, about his daddy, be about my grandpa, somewhere in about 1925, my grandpa saddled up the horse and rode from near Stockton, Georgia, to Lexington, Nebraska, Stockton, Nebraska, to Lexington, Nebraska, and bought a car and drove the car home. First car they had, a Model T. I think they called it a Tin Lizzie. And he got the car home, and he and I shut the thing off. And he ran it in the haystack. You know, we need instructions as we go along. It probably been a good thing for my grandpa, Henry Habuox, in 1926, to have YouTube. He could have run in the house or he grabbed his cell phone and said, how do you shut off a Model T Ford? You know what I mean? And the guy that got the most hits was it be at the top, and you could look at that and see whatever you did. I don't know if they had a key. I don't know how to switch. I just don't know what they had. I assume it was something that shut the electricity off, you know what I'm saying, going to the spark plugs, and it killed it. But anyway, we need examples out there. We need to know, have something that helps us along the way. We don't have to have it, but God is so good, we've got a pile of examples. Basically, it's a whole book. Brother was talking to us about it, even in our service to the Lord and seeing who he is and what's going on. And Jesus, obviously, the great example. Well, I should have told you to turn to Hebrews 12, so you'd already be there. But go ahead and turn to Hebrews 12. We'll read the first two verses. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, as we was talking about, Brother Jim mentioned using the different names and titles and positions of Christ. And here we come upon this one there in the second verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So we're going to have to learn a little bit something about faith, maybe. Faith's a big subject. This one has baffled me for the last few weeks, knowing that I'd be talking about it. And I finally realized I don't have to talk about all of it because I don't know all of it. I'm going to just snatch out a little piece. I remember Brother Sonny Piles, a long time ago, heard him say that this book is just full of all kinds of good stuff. And he was talking especially about Revelation. And he said, now let's say you have a room that's just full of precious jewels, and there's this huge block of gold in the middle of it, you know, weighed 2 or 3 tons. And you were given, like, you know, 15 minutes to go in that room and get what you can and come back out. He said, well, the pile of gold is the most expensive thing in there. But you can't get it out in 15 minutes. You're going to have to work at it. So he said, do you just avoid the whole room? Or do you go in, get what you can, get out? Well, that's what I'm going to do with faith. We're going to go in, I trust, get a little bit, and get out with it. So so here we are. Let's just, notes for a little bit. Let's just use these two verses. Wherefore? Well, go back to Brother Sonny Piles again. He said, if something starts, it says therefore, a verse, you need to go back and see what the therefore is there for. Well, wherefore, I think, is the same kind of thing. So we're going to go back. You know, we need to go back and understand what the wherefore is there for. We'll change that a little bit. And you all know chapter 11 is the book of the faithful in Christ. It starts out, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it goes on and it talks about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Jacob and Sarah. I mean, it just tells about their faith, their faith, their faith. And so that's the bookend on this side of what's going on, of the wherefore. And if you go to verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's the bookend on the other side. We're in the middle here, folks. Brother James has made it so beautiful in his talking. We need to not just read this stuff and say, oh yeah, that happened to those folks. That's interesting what happened to those folks. No, we need to personalize it. We need to see how we fit or how it fits us. Just look at this verse here. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us. Apostle Paul is personalizing it to those Jewish brethren at that time, going on to say, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You see the point. He's personalizing it. So here we've got the hall of faith in chapter 11, talking about the faithful. And then we're seeing that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. The book ends. We're in the middle here. We're talking about faith. I've heard a lot of sermons on verse 1 of chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. And stop there. And it makes a good sermon. You'll probably hear me use it sometime or other. Just talking about how that we live in this life, and it's a life of patience. It's a life of enduring. It's a hard race. This is not a sprint. This is not a 100-yard dash. This is a race that's going to be your whole life long. And we need to lay aside weights. I remember one preacher talking about that. It says, we're compassed, let us lay aside every weight. And he said, that's not talking about sin. He said, that's just talking about stuff we do that's not sinful, but it weighs us down. A runner is not going to leave some old heavy clunky work boots on to run a race. You see what I'm saying? It's not wrong to run a race with work boots on. There's no sin against it, but it's wiser to have something light. He said, you can go swimming, and this is the part I remember, you can go swimming with a bowling ball. There's no sin against it. It just ain't smart. You know what I mean? I love that. I love that example. But anyway, that's a good verse, and you can bring out a lot of good life lessons. But do you see with the word wherefore there, it pulls in the chapter before of faith. And then in the second verse, it says that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. So verse 1 has to be considered in the idea of faith. And he's talking about with us that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. There's a pile of folks back there that are witnesses that we can go read about and understand about what faith looks like. We need a YouTube video of how faith works. We understand that faith is a possession that we have that's given to us when we're born again, when we are regenerated. Faith comes with the Spirit, and it's one of those nine fruit, I used to say fruits, but nine aspects of fruit that we have, love, joy, peace. You know, faith is in there. Faith is a possession. We're the children of God. When I'm the child of Harold Habgewocks, as that respect, I have some characteristics that look like him. I have some characteristics of how I act and my demeanor that look like the family, if you know what I'm saying. And in the family of the human race, I've got hands, I've got a nose and ears, and you all do. We get characteristics from our Father that then we have. Does that make sense? That's pretty simple, isn't it? I want to be simple with it. So in that aspect, we understand that every man is given the measure of faith. There's an aspect of faith that we have that's given to us. It's a possession that we have. But that's not what this is talking about. It's talking about what are you going to do with that possession of faith? How are you going to handle it? How are you going to work with that profession? This is getting down more to the practical use of it. Some people say there's the possession of faith, and then there is the expression of faith. How does faith expressed from you? How are you using it? How does it look like when people are looking at it? We need YouTube videos maybe to help us out. Well, I'd say chapter Hebrews is a whole pile of them. I mean, just a list talking about Noah being warned, and he walked with fear going ahead. And Enoch was translated because it was said that he loved God. And Moses' parents saw he was a goodly child, and they didn't fear the king. Moses didn't fear the king and did his things. I mean, it gives us these examples of little baskets, little containers, a little short video clips of what expression of faith or the use of faith, the how we do our faith is done. It gives us that. It's there. Well, it's interesting you start reading here, though. Get past verse 1, go to verse 2, and what's it say? What's that first word? Looking. Looking. Looking unto Jesus. You know, it says, wherefore, we need to go back and look at that. But now it's looking unto Jesus. Do y'all remember when I was here 2 weeks ago, we spoke about the names of Jesus in the aspect that he's called Jesus, he's called Lord, and he's called Christ. And we tried to look at those different names or titles that he is or has. And as I realize, as I read the scriptures now, I need to pay attention to what is being said there. This is not saying looking unto Christ the Lord. It's looking unto Jesus. Well, what does that mean then? What's that saying? Is it saying looking unto the deity, God, that bore the sins of the world for that he's the author and finisher? No, it says looking unto Jesus, the man that walked here on earth, looking unto Jesus. When you go to, when we use Jesus as our example, that song we sang a little bit ago, I didn't think about it when I called it. It said, we'll talk of all he did and said and suffered for us here below. The path he marked for us to tread, the path he marked for us to tread. Jesus left a path for us to tread. Well, if it's the deity path of the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, how many of you guys think you can follow that path and get very far down it? Well, what about the path of being the Christ, the anointed one, the one, as Brother James so beautifully, beautifully talked about, of the pure one and all of the sins of everybody from Adam to the last child of grace being placed on him. How are y'all going to do if you think you can follow that path? And I can't handle my own sins. I couldn't in the wrath of God. I couldn't in eternity. And under his wrath, pay for that. You know, it's a little hard sometimes to understand paying for sin. In my mind, when it says pay, always goes to money for some reason. It's just a stupid quirk, I guess, in my brain. But I've, you watch the cowboy shows or some of the different drama shows on TV, and some guy's caught for a crime or whatever, and he gets out, and he said, I paid my debt to society. In other words, he was in prison for a while, and it got it paid. Our sins are so gross before God that when his punishment comes down, we cannot pay our debt to society by being in prison forever, plus the wrath of God being poured out on us. We can't pay it. That's what it's talking about, being paid. We don't have the wherewith to be able to do it forever, forever and ever and ever. I mean, forever's a long time because there's no end to it. We don't have that ability. For my own sins, But the Christ, when you say the word Christ, the anointed one, the one that was to do that, was everybody, all of the children of God. I don't mean everybody in mankind. I mean all children of God placed upon him their sins and their iniquities and their sin natures. Can you follow that? No? So we're talking here about Jesus, the man. Here's somebody we can follow. You know, Jesus one time said, I came not to minister, or not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Can you do that? Absolutely. You know, most of us in the human race, there's a few that maybe that don't fit. Well, one, Jesus Christ. But most of us in the human race like to have things our way. We'll put up pretty big fuss for it. And we really want folks to minister to us. Take care of my needs. You know, I've used the example here before, and I'll use it again. Years ago, if anybody can find this cartoon, I'd love to have it. It was Charles Schulz doing a Snoopy cartoon characters. And you've got Lucy and Charlie Brown talking. And Lucy's like, what's the meaning of life, Charlie Brown? And the next segment, something however it goes, I don't quite remember. Charlie Brown goes, well, I suppose that we're here so we can help others. And the last one, Lucy's like, somebody's not doing their job. She wasn't looking to help anybody. You remember how Lucy was in those things. She's always self-centered, right? And here she is. Charlie Brown, the dunce of the thing, gave her the, you know, Charles Schulz that wrote that, that's some insight, isn't it? Yeah, I'd like to talk to that guy. He's dead and gone, but yeah, it'd be interesting. He had some understanding. So here's Jesus showing us he's the one, only human being ever worthy that to be ministered to. But he came and said, I'm going to lower myself. And I'm going to minister to others. That's a path we can follow. Well, so here's the Jesus here, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus. This is our path, folks. What was our bookends? Faith and faith. So we're going to find out now how to use faith. We're going to find out now how to shut the Model T Ford off, okay? We got a YouTube video coming up. Well, it starts out looking unto Jesus. He gives us a little understanding of him, the author and finisher of our faith. This guy is the one that created faith. He understands faith. He knows what faith is all about. He is faith. He's what our faith is placed in. Some people say it, he's the object of our faith. Here he is. He's the author of our faith and the finisher. Well, if we're talking here about the possession of how it is, and maybe the author part is, I'm not going to quibble a minute about that. But the finisher part of it is interesting to me. Does that mean that he starts your faith and it's going, and then in a few hours he can just, it's finished, and you've got faith, and you're just out there, 60 mile an hour down the, or 80 mile an hour down the interstate? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. In verse 1, he uses the idea that it's a race. And this is a race of life. It's a long race. It's endurance. Well, that word is used here. Let's look at it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's a picture. It's a snapshot. It's a YouTube clip of how faith works. We're not talking about how you get faith, the regeneration and the possession of faith. It's talking about how the practical aspect of faith. And even in Jesus Christ, in his life, but it's just Jesus here. It's the man Jesus. There was something set before him. A promise, and this was set before him, and he knows it from before the foundation of the world, in the eternal covenant of the choice of the multitude of the elect, and what they were going to do and how it was going to all happen, and election and redemption and sanctification and glorification, all that stuff from the eternal covenant. But here he is. That was set before him. But as a man here on earth walking with us, he had some struggles. He had some things that weren't so wonderful. It says that for the joy that was set for him, he endured the cross. He was running his race. He was running on his path, and he endured this. Do you see how faith is working? Is it giving you a picture of how faith is? You may have something. Brother James, again, talked about that day when Jesus is coming back. Do you all look forward to that day? Especially when you're down in the mully grubs and it just seems like the world's against you, and your dog and your cat are against you, and worst off, you're really against yourself. But you don't want to admit that, you know. That'd say I'm a sinner. But the world's against me. I just can't help it. Everybody's against me, you know. Well, you can think about one day the Lord's coming back. And this old sinful body, if the Lord shows you a crack into your sinful side of you, it's black. It's horrible. I think we need to ask once in a while and say, God, show me that. Total depravity, as you've heard me say many times, and I'll continue to say it till I die, keeps you from seeing total depravity. It doesn't want you to see how nasty you are. God shows you that. It's the only way it happens. God has. But just ask God to give me another little clip, you know, a little few moments, Lord. Don't have too much. I think it really depresses us so bad if we saw how bad we were. We'd be useless. So ask God to see what we are that little bit. But we can then look by an eye of faith at what's one thing that's out there. We got a book full of stuff out there that we can look to, that gives us, helps us, and we'll endure as we go along. Or despising, if there's the shameful stuff that you have in your life and you despise who you are, you despise what you've done, and you think about that stuff. And I think part of it is here, certainly not with Jesus Christ, but with us. Do y'all ever, you know, just mess up royally? You know you've done it. You know it's your fault. You wish you hadn't done it. I'm going to be different. And tomorrow afternoon you do it again. You know, or next month, whatever. Yeah. I think that's part of just enduring, trying to get up and go again. It's working. This idea of finishing our faith made me think more of maybe building a house. And you know who the author is? I mean, the general contractor. He knows what this house is going to look like when it's done. In his mind, maybe he's got a piece of paper that somebody sketched it out on. But he calls in the concrete guys and they pour a foundation. And then they are the footing, and then the foundation, and then the floor. And they start building walls and ceiling and rafters. And they start putting siding on it. And they're finishing the house. But it doesn't just happen overnight, does it? Marty and Twana and Hannah and Bill. Sometimes it gets a little delayed as they go along. We might be the same way as our faith is being finished. You see, it's building of faith. We're exercising. Well, here you are running. The Taylor family. As I remember when we used to live over there, those people ran. I think they put a box of cereal at the end of the driveway and ran to it in the morning. That was their, just running was their thing. They ain't no cereal. Just get out and run. Run. They've run marathons. They've run whatever. They've run. But you just don't get out the first day and say, I think I'm going to run 26 miles in the morning. Never done it before. Never even hardly walk to the mailbox. And you see, it takes training. And you're going to fail. And you're going to have troubles. And you may sprain your ankle sometime while you're running. And you've got, but you got to keep running. And y'all get the picture, don't you? We're working at our faith. This is finishing our faith. And then finally, who's the last contractor, subcontractor, the general contractor brings into your house? The finish contractor, right? They come in and do the molding around the windows and put the doors in and do the finishing touches on the thing. That's what we're talking about. That's what Jesus is, the author and finisher of our faith. Yes, he's the one that is in regeneration, and we get the possession. Now we have the possession. I have hands. Can I use them? Yeah. Can I just put them in my pockets and not do anything? Yeah. So, but this teaches us how to use those things, how to use our faith, how faith is going to work. Jesus, looking unto Jesus. We got a whole chapter of folks behind. We can go back and look at them. But did it say to look at them? Well, it says wherefore. So I think, yeah, go back and look a little bit. But verse 2, looking unto Jesus, we know who he is, the man, here on earth, an example, left a path for us to follow. Footsteps of Jesus. I think we have a song, and it glows because of who he is. It's perfectness. But he left a path that we can follow. The author and finisher of our faith. He's finishing our faith. We may mess up, and sometimes a contractor puts a door in too small in the wrong spot. I don't know if you all remember when they was doing this. We had a 30-inch door there and a 28-inch door over here. And basically, you couldn't see it, but if you get back and look, hey, well, that door's narrower than this. Well, the contractor had to come back, tear it out, and put us in a 30-inch door over there. It's what happens sometimes. We're building our faith. We're enduring. Endurance is patience. What's it say up here in the other verse? Verse 1, let us run with patience. Go ahead and pray for patience if you want to, so that you can just lay back and not get frustrated at things. It don't work that way. Patience is enduring from one hardship to another hardship to another hardship, and to where you realize that you're going to get through these things. It may seem terrible, but you're going to get through these things. And I'm talking respect to our lives and with Jesus Christ, and we learn, we get through. And as you learn that, and you're going, okay, it's hard now, but I'm going to get through it. What are you starting to do here? Well, you're trusting in somebody. And that is faith. You see what I'm saying? And you're building your faith. It's getting stronger. The building is maybe getting to where it looks a little better, and you understand it better. I used to talk about how when things had happened, I'd spaz out. I mean, just like, ah! Really? I'd almost run out through the woods, you know, like a lunatic. Just things aren't right. I don't know how to fix this, Lord. I had a bad situation with my bees one year, and there was, looks like, no honey crop coming whatsoever. We go to Cincinnati for a funeral. I'm sitting three or four rows back over here, and I'm trying to pray for the family. Lord, be with this family. They've lost their mama. How hard that must be. I'd lost my mama. I knew how hard that can be for the family. Praying about it. But then I'd spaz out, and I'd you know, nobody saw it, but I'm like, oh, Lord, what am I going to do with my bees? Because there's no honey crop, and how are we going to live for the next year? Oops, I'm sorry, God. Right. Pray for the family, pray for the family. Oh, what am I going to do? I pray to God I don't do that as much. I'm a little more even keeled. Maybe my faith, yeah, this is a hard time coming up. But, Lord, I've had some experiences with you, and you've been faithful. You've helped me through the experience. You can look back like you look back to chapter 11 and see how he helped these people. I'm talking about the practical aspect and use of faith. We see how he helped those. You go and look at your own experiences and see how God has helped you as you bumped along and had the door too small or put in the wrong kind of flooring or whatever the situation is in your house. And you have to back up and kind of and start again. But it's a continual building of your faith. And while you're doing this, as Brother James talked about, keep your eyes on Jesus, because he's the author and finisher, and he understands, because for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and he despised the shame. And guess what? He got the end results. He's sitting at the right hand. And that's where we're going. Keep your eyes focused out yonder. all of the little mully grub stuff down here may spaz you out, but that's because you're looking down at it. You're not looking unto Jesus. Interesting word here in verse. I'm going to go a little over, forgive me, but it's Brother James' fault, so we'll just go at that. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I never saw that word also until last week. I used to think what it says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, it was talking about all these folks back here in Hebrews 11. But that was the cloud of witnesses. But if that's the case, the word also doesn't need to be there. It just say, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud. We are also. Well, now you can get to saying, well, they were all here. So here's what I kind of think means. You can say, well, here are all these faithful folks. And they learned from each other and they helped each other. But I ain't got nobody. Ain't nobody around me to help me. Let me take it. We're going to have a test. Pop quiz right here in church. I expect you to raise your hand. All right? Let me find my questions. Yeah, just raise it before we even have the questions. I like that, brother. Let's see here. How many of y'all believe in creation that was by God? Obviously, something created it. Well, that's good, good. How many of you believe that there was an actual world deluge flood with Noah and the ark? That's pretty good. Some of you aren't raising your hands. I'm worried about you. How many of y'all believe that Jesus, the man, incarnate, is God? All right, we're doing good. How many of you believe he rose again? How many believe you, he says, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a promise. How many of you believe that that promise can come to happen? How many of y'all believe, as Brother James spoke in the very end, that all the redeemed, he's coming back and going to pick them up and reunite their, well, he's bringing the redeemed back. He's going to raise their bodies, reunite them, and forever shall we be with the Lord. How many? I'm going to raise two hands on that. I like that. Well, most of you got that passed pretty good on that. Do you know what I just did to y'all? All of those things, if you said yes to, is by faith that you can do any of that. Anything you answered yes to in those questions has to be by faith. That is coming from your possession, and you were expressing it by raising your hand. And all of a sudden, guess what I am? What have 30, 40 people in this room? Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with a greater cloud of witnesses. Y'all are my cloud of witnesses. Brethren, I know some struggles that some of y'all have gone through recently and not so recently. And you got there trusting in the Lord. I know some of you that get down and you look forward to a day when the pain of the illness or the complications of this body will be gone one day, because you'll be forever with the Lord, and you're looking for your exercise. I get to be around you folks. Do you realize that? We are each other's, I lost the word, a cloud of witnesses. You know what a cloud is? A cloud is a whole bunch of little particles of water out there, water vapor, and it's a cloud. This, y'all are a cloud. You're a whole bunch of little particles of folks, children of God, and you're trusting the Lord. And I know you have faith because I just gave you the test and y'all passed. You're exercising your faith in those things. You know, as I did this work, I got thinking, because here the one with Jesus says, looking unto Jesus, the author, finished right, for the joy that was set before him. There was a promise set out there before him. Well, that's not the only way faith works. I mean, it's one of them. So I know there's many. I just thought of these things. There's an aspect that there's things that we believe in things unseen. Well, let's just go back to chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's faith. Something you can't see. Do y'all think there might be angels in this room right now? Guardian angels? I can't see them. What about the student that was helping Elisha, and the Syrian army was coming down to get Elisha? Can you imagine one person? How would you like to be the one person, and the Russian army found out you were the one messing up their plans, foiling their ideas to invade America? You were the one. And they sent their army to get you. I mean, there's tanks, there's aircraft carriers, there's jets, and there's drones, and there's infantry, and they're coming for you. Now, the little servant of Elisha got a little scared, because here's the army outside the tent. Yeah, they don't even have a good fortification, a tent. Yeah, like that's going to hold back a chariot or whatever. And God and Elisha, he said, there's more out there that's for us than's against us. There's more out there. And the servant went out and said, you don't know what you're talking about. He prayed and said, open his eyes, Lord. And he opened his eyes and he saw the horsemen and chariots of God outnumbered all of these other guys. Open their eyes. Yes, there's an unseen world. That's one aspect of faith. We can use that aspect of faith in our practical walk. What about another one? Well, there's things in the past that's happened. Look at verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed. We're using our minds, our spiritual minds, and that object of faith, that possession of faith, we're exercising it. It's helping us to endure, and part of it is we understand that the worlds were framed by God. Nobody was there. We have no eyewitness accounts. We just believe that God did it. We believe that there was a flood. Nobody was there. Yeah, there may be some evidences. When you find sea creatures on top of Mount Everest, you probably figure there must have been a worldwide flood. Some folks can't make that connection. It's not a big leap for me, but it's still by faith because nobody was there to really see it. You see what I'm saying? We have those aspects. So we have the using our faith in one aspect of by seeing to the past. We have the aspect of unseen things. I know that those angels are here, but it's by an eye of faith. What about the idea that here was with Jesus when it said, looking unto Jesus for the joy that was set before him? Well, we talked about it in those questions I give you. When Jesus said, ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You raised your hand and said, yes, I believe that Jesus will give me rest if I come to him. I know some of you have done that and experienced it, and maybe you've done it enough that you kind of able to be blessed to rest in it. And I don't mean rest that you ain't going to do it anymore. I mean you're not spazzing out over the thing. It's like, here comes a trial. And I've experienced enough. My house, faith house, I can see how it is. Or the author of my book has got enough chapters written in it finally. I can see what the story's about. Or I've exercised enough, as it talks about running this race. And I've exercised and I've ran several marathons. And I've talked to other people that's run. And I can kind of see how this thing's going to end. And therefore, my faith will carry me through, and I'm not going to be spazzing out again. I won't be going off in the deep blue yonder. I won't be depressed and just, in the worst woe me feelings or whatever. What else do we have with promises? Actually, there's a promise or two here. Let's just do this. There's one here. I like verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen. How about that one for a not seen thing? Not just the angels in the room. They'd never seen rain. Things not seen, never seen rain. Yet he moved with fear, trusting in the Lord. Well, there's another one for you. Trusting in the Lord is by faith. You don't do it any other way. And he moved with fear, trusting in the Lord. It's something he'd never seen. God said, Noah, I'm going to flood the earth. It's going to rain. You build this big boat. We're going to put the animals in it. You're going to float on top of all this stuff, and it's going to save you and your children and your daughters-in-law. And he moved with fear, trusting. I'd like to get some faith like that. And it's not like it's an impossibility. It's not put in the book just for us to go, ooh, oh, ain't that cool? I'll never get there. No. And I'm surrounded with people I think that's had as much faith as it took for him to do that, trusting in the Lord, as Noah did. And I have you as my examples. I have you as my little how-to thing, how to shut that tin Lizzie off, how to get it stopped. My YouTube video snippets are right here in the room. I'm surrounded by them. I love it when I'm trying to change, you know, some kind of part on my car and I go to the YouTube video and there's like 25 or 30 different videos there for the same thing. When you go there and there's only one, I'm a little concerned because like, did this guy do it right or not? Of course, and sometimes there's none. But I like it when there's a whole bunch. I like it when I had all of y'all saying, yes, I believe. Yes, I believe that. Yes, I trust in the Lord. I've got you all surrounding me. But remember, we're looking unto Jesus with that. Here's my favorite one here in this group in Hebrews 11. Through faith, verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and she was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Judged him faithful who had promised. Faith. You didn't realize Sarah was about 65 years old when and Abraham was 75 when God met up with him in Ur of the Chaldees and said, Abraham, get yourself up and go from your family. When Abraham was 25, all of his 25 or 28, whatever it is, grandfathers back to Shem in the flood were still alive. Did you know that? All of them back. By the time he's 75, quite a few had died, but there's still a pile of them. Get up from your fathers. I mean, you talk about a nest where we lived in South Georgia, you would know. We lived in the Harrison community. Now, I realize it was just north of Climax, but the Harrison folks that made up Pedment Church were Harrisons. And we lived on Hugh Harrison's property. He had died and his wife moved down. We rented it. But there were Harrisons all over that community. They didn't move. Well, here's Abraham living in a community of whatever their folks were, but he's there with all of them. God says, get up and leave. I'm going to show you land. I'm going to give. Well, God, I'm here with my family and this is my land right here, you know, with my family. No, God, get up and go. And I'm going to make you of a great nation. You will have of your seed. Well, you know, Brother Marty and I have kicked back and forth. I'm sorry it's so long over. I'll be done shortly. Brother Marty and I have kicked back and forth about if it says that Abraham staggered not at the promises. I think he staggered. I know the Bible says he staggered not. What I think happened is his faith, the author and finisher of his faith, his faith got so strong that he no longer staggered. That, yes, I'm 100, and my wife is 90, and we will have a child. I don't think there was any staggering finally in his life. He staggered when he said, Lord, what about Eleazar, my servant? Can he be the one? Or, Lord, what about Sarah says I can go into her handmaid Hagar and we'll have a baby. Maybe that'll be the one. God said, no, and that was staggering. He wasn't following the Lord, in my opinion, in this aspect. But there came a day when Abraham said, it will be. And Sarah laughed in the tent. A woman my age? I mean, she was 65 before she ever left town, you know, going over into to the land of Canaan. She's 90 now. But she had got to the point exercising her faith, enduring that struggles of training and training and training and exercising her faith. And she got to the point where she judged him faithful who had promised. I hope in some way, somehow, you guys can, and me too, us guys, can can understand how we use our faith. Some aspects of it, just a quick recap, by unseen, by promises, by trusting in the God of the universe, that nobody stays his hands. They don't put handcuffs on God. Who's going to put a handcuff on God and put his hands on him and stay his hands? Ain't happening, all right? And that we can trust in the promises that are there. And there's more to it than that. That's just, like I said, I want to get in the room, grab some jewels, and I'm getting out. God bless y'all.